Good morning. Can y'all hear me good? You hear me? Okay. I'm humbled to be able to stand before you. It's a great honor to stand and minister the Word of God. I want to do it well. I want to do it accurately. And in my ministering, I like to give a lot of scripture, because at the end of all this, it doesn't matter what I think. It's what does God say? You know, I can give you my opinion, I can give you what somebody else says, but the only thing that God's obligated to perform and to watch over and keep is His own word, not mine. So I'll give you scriptures. Because when I got started in this, I can remember going to a Bible study and somebody told me there was a devil. I said, there is? I grew up in a church that didn't teach you any of that. And they all looked at me like, what planet did you come from? I said, you mean there's somebody actually fighting me every step of the way and I don't even know who he is? He said, that's true. But I saw in the Word right away. Then I turned my focus on putting some knots on his head. I want to start off with Romans 8:29. And the reason I want to start with that is because I want every one of us to realize that God's plan for us was to be just like Jesus. It says in Romans 8:29 that we were predestined to conform to the image of Jesus. Now we all know, according to Hebrews, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We've all heard that thousands of times. But Jesus is still healing people today. He's still saving people today. He's still delivering people today. Just picture in your mind, what if Jesus was here today, what all could he do and would he do for us? Well, he's turned that ministry over to us. And we're to be just like him. And I know people say, well, yeah, but he's the Son of God. Well, so are you. When you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. When God looks at you, he loves you as much as he loves you as much as he loves Jesus. So he was willing to give everything, including Jesus, to get you. So every one of us has inside of us, born again believer, we have the ministry of Jesus in us. But it's to the point that we know what it is and how to use it that we can be effective. If I walked in here to work on something that you had broken, and I brought a toolbox in there with just a screwdriver, I'm going to be limited on what I can do. But if I bring a toolbox that's got everything, I can deal with any issue. Just picture on the inside of you is everything heaven has is on the inside of you. We just need to learn how to tap into it. I wanted to share my testimony and go over some years of our lives. And at the end of that, I want to kind of bring it all together on why I did it this way. From an early age, my wife Tina was saved through her grandmother's church. I grew up Catholic, so I didn't know what saved was. We met during high school. And then after I got out of high school, my dad got me a job with a large chemical company. Right now, I have over 41 years with that company. I've never worked anywhere else but there. My son says, Dad, you're a dinosaur. He said, that just doesn't happen anymore. But I wanted to tell you that because God is working on your life even before you understand it all. He's putting things in place for you to be a success and to have what you need even before you accepted His Son. Because see, that's the way God is. God is proactive. He's not, well, you know, when Tom gets saved, then I'll start putting a plan together. No, He has a plan for all of us. Remember He said you were predestined? That means that God's already got it all worked out. We got married in 1977. And then my first child was born in 79. Now let me expound on that a little bit. Somebody asked me right about that time. They said, if you could order your kids, what would you order? I said, well, I want two kids. I want a boy first, and then I want a girl. I want the boy to be 4 years older than his sister. Well, guess what I got? I got a son. Oh, yeah, and I said I want him to be over 6 feet tall because I was small, and I wanted him to be big. So he's 6'4". He's 4 years and a week older than his sister. And I got two kids. It's like God was listening to that order. So I got that. Then in 1981, her and a friend tried to get me to go to Lakewood Church. And they bugged me and they bugged me and they bugged me and they bugged me. And I finally said, you know what? I'm going to go just to shut them up. So I went down there. Looked around, I'm thinking, man, I've never been in a church like this. This is strange. So, at the end, they gave an altar call. They said, you need to go down there. Once again, I'm just trying to shut them up. So, I go to the altar, and I'm looking at this altar. You know, it was elevated, and John Osteen was on there, and he comes walking up. I mean, there's probably 30, 40 people up there. But he doesn't come to anybody but me. And he runs that long hand down there, and he said, "You are you up here? Are you for real? Or are you wasting time? Do you really mean business with God?" And I'm thinking, "Oh, yes, sir. Whatever." I thought, you know, this is God sticking His hand at me. You know, I'm telling Him anything He wants to hear. Yes, sir. I'm for real. Well, I got saved. But if you don't know what saved is, you don't know what to do with it. So actually, I became a worse person. You know that scripture says in Hosea 4:6, He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I didn't know anything. So I actually got worse. My life really, in that the next 2 years was horrible. She and I couldn't get along. Just was a worse person. And I was I had had all those years of knowing how to sin, so now I was getting really good at it. So, because I didn't know what I had. I had Jesus in my heart, but I didn't know, like I said, I was real ignorant. Then in 1983, my daughter was born, and within 3 months she got really sick, bad sick. She got some kind of problem in her digestive tract where she couldn't keep anything in, constant diarrhea, constant vomiting. Well, I'm watching this all play out, and I'm thinking, man, can't they do anything to stop this? Is there anything they can do? We were in isolation. At that time, I only made $150 a day, and the hospital bill was $105 a day. So I got 4 months behind on my house note. She and I couldn't get along. It was a really stressful time. But she was going to Lakewood Church and heard that Jesus is a healer. So, Thank you, Lord. She came home and told me, she said, you know, Jesus is still healing people today. And I'm thinking, well, we sure need it. Because they told us, they said, if you don't do something, if your daughter doesn't have a turnaround within a month, she's not going to be here. That was really tough for me. Because I'm thinking, this is not somebody else's problem. This is my problem. They're telling me my daughter's not going to live another month. I remember on Christmas Day, she sat up and fell down in front of the Christmas tree. We thought she died. We spent Christmas Day that day in the emergency room. She's telling me that Jesus is a healer. And I'm thinking that's what I need. In the meantime, we got invited to a Nazarene church. And they had an evangelist preach a salvation message and explained it. I went to that altar and I said, that's what I want. I didn't know I'd already had it. But now I understood it. I understood what salvation was. Man, I went up there and I made it. I'm dedicating my life. I'm letting it all go. Like he said, I surrender all. I did that. From that point on, I realized I've let it all go. It's just me and Jesus. At that time, the pastor of that Nazarene church was seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, we all know when you get that, you get the left foot of fellowship. So we left with him, and we're wanting the Holy Ghost too, so we're hungry for that experience. So we leave with him, and he starts a church in a small meeting room at a hotel near the airport, Hobby Airport. So that's when we started getting a hunger for the supernatural. I mean, he wants it, we want it, we're digging in. Well, in the meantime, he only had like one service a week. It was a very small church. But that wasn't enough for us. It's kind of like, yeah, I know that's a good meal, but I'm hungry. I want to eat three or four times a week. So we started going to Lakewood Church on like Wednesday night and Sunday night. That's when we started getting around other ministries that believed in the supernatural. We went so regularly, some of the people at our regular church thought, well, what church are you really a member of? You go over there four times a week, come here one, you know. So anyway, Lester Summerall was ministering one day, and he was praying that people would get baptized in the Holy Ghost. So I put my head down right next to my wife, and we're praying, and all of a sudden this tongues comes out. I'm going, what was that? What was that? Nobody ever laid hands on me to get the Holy Ghost. It came on me when I was praying. Now I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. The fire is lit. But I want you to know that the devil also knows when your fire is lit too. And he's going to do everything he can to derail it. Psalms 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers you from them all. Everybody say with me, all. How many? All. So if you're not delivered from all of them, you still got something to get from God. And what did I say? He's dedicated to his word. You take God's word and you take it to him and say, Father, I see right here that you deliver us from them all, so I want my all. If I'm not made whole, I still got some all to get. And I'm not giving up till I get it. God loves that kind of faith. I can remember when my kids were little, I'd promise them something. I said, look, the next time we go to the store, you can have this. That might be 2 weeks. I'm telling you, the minute I hit that parking lot, Daddy, you remember?
That's right.
Got to keep my word. Yeah. See, we want God to keep his word. We got to keep ours. December 1983, I'm at work and a piece of iron falls out of pipe rack and hits me on the head. I didn't know what happened. I'm looking around, I don't see anybody. I thought somebody come up and just hit me with a bat. I thought, what was that? Well, I waved, motioned some guys, and they came over there and they said, well, what's the matter? I said, something hit me on the head and I don't know what it is. And they looked down and here's, they said, this piece of iron must have fell on me. For 4 years, I suffered horrible pain. Horrible pain. But I remember I said, my fire's lit. I said, I'm going to get my healing.
Amen. Yeah.
I'm going to get my healing. I'm going to get every bit of it. Devil, you're going to be sad the day I get my healing. It manifests. I want you to, I'm going to get it to where you're going to say, I should have never done that to him. But it didn't come overnight. It took 4 years. 4 years. But oh, the night it came. I'm in a Jerry B. Walker meeting. My wife and I are sitting really far to the back. And he's ministering that night on finance. Well, our finances were in good shape. I mean, I didn't have $1 million in my pocket, but we were good. And I thought to myself, we were talking, and said, well, let's get in on this blessing. He's praying for everybody's finances. So we go up there with our checkbook and we put our checkbook out there and he lays hands on our checkbook. We go to walk off and he reaches out and just one finger touched me on the neck. It knocked me across the room. Well, I almost went out the church window. I caught myself going. I turned around and I thought, who in the world would hit me like that in church? It made me mad. I walk a few more feet, boom, it hits me a second time. I get back to the seat, I said, come on, we're going home. I'm not going to be treated like this at church. And I heard the Holy Ghost said, how's your neck? I went, praise God, I'm healed. Supernatural, I got my healing. But you know what, I was mad. I was ready to fight that guy that's pushing me. And all he did... I was so far away from him when it hit me. I know he couldn't. There's no way he could have hit me that far away. That was God straightening my neck out. '84 to '88, we did everything we could to be involved in everything church had. If they'd say, hey, we'll do it. We volunteered for everything. They want to mow grass, want to work on plumbing, her work in the office. We just saturated ourselves in what the church needed. And I can remember, actually, Bill Dearman said, of all the volunteers, I want you working for me. I don't know if y'all remember, Lakewood had a print shop. They used to print their own books. I worked in that print shop, and I'm telling you, that was a lot of work. They bring in these spools of paper that weigh tons. During all that volunteer work, she was offered a job to go to work for Lakewood Church. So now we're actually part of the ministry. We're around people in supernatural ministries regularly. People that John Q. Public, as far as the church is concerned, probably didn't even know. There was a woman named Stephanie Hawley. She actually was Kenneth Copeland's dietitian to help him lose all the weight. I mean, some of y'all might not know, Kenneth Copeland one time was overweight, extremely overweight. She worked for him, she worked for Norval Hayes, and now she's working for John Osteen. And when she prayed, whoo, we had a Bible study at our house, and we invited some neighbors, and this one guy got saved, and I mean, she's casting the devil out of this thing, and this guy's throwing up on my carpet at the front door, and these people are going, what in the world? I mean, these are manifestations. But we knew when he got up off of that carpet, that was a new man.
Amen.
He got delivered of whatever was dogging his tracks. Then I grew up in a home where what we heard regularly is, we can't afford that. Or that's not for the likes of us. So there came a time when we needed a car, and we're praying for a car. We got a family of four. Well, the Holy Ghost tells me, your car is at this lot. So I go over there and I look around. I don't see a car. I'm ready to leave. I said, Lord, you said there was a car here. He said, yeah, you missed it. The nicest to me, the nicest car on that lot was this really nice Cadillac. Well, see, I grew up with the attitude, well, Cadillac, no, you're not Cadillac material. But see, that was God wanting to change the way I think.
Yeah.
Everything God has for you is extremely abundantly above all that you could ask, think, or imagine. My family's never owned anything like that. I cried when I got that. And then God told me, I know how much you can pay for it and how much you can get for it. And I'd go in there, and that guy said, he'd pat me on the back, well, sonny boy, you just can't afford my car. Man, that infuriated me. I thought, I got the God of all my, Almighty God living on inside of me, and you tell me I can't have his car? God moved that man out of the way, and when he went to lunch, I got it for the price God told me. What that did for me in my thinking is, it's not the fact that it's a Cadillac, but it's something so nice. My family's never had nothing like that. That was God changing me and getting me out of that skinny goat mentality.
Yes.
You know, when the son came back, the prodigal son came back, he got the fatted calf. He didn't go get the skinny goat. That was God changing the way we think about finances and how God wants to give you the best.
Yes.
Well, there's actually a scripture said, he who spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all, along with him will freely give you all things. If he gave you Jesus, a Cadillac sure isn't anything close to that.
That's right.
But it changed the way I think about finances and the blessing of God. Then we're around ministries like T.L. Osborne, and, you know, I don't think, I don't know if any of y'all have heard that testimony, how he didn't pray over this woman. All he did is just touch her and say, the love of God, the love of God, the love of God. She was supernaturally delivered, and Tina said, man, that room was just like it was sucked in like a vacuum. The power of God was so strong. Then in 1993, I remember a house went up for sale. It was a custom-built home. And to me, it was the nicest home in this neighborhood. Had a swimming pool. We wanted a swimming pool. And I remember years before that, I'd passed that house, taking my kids to our babysitter. And I remember looking at that house and I said, Lord, what's it like to own a house that nice? It was just something I just told God, just between me and him. God gave me that house.
Yeah.
Told me what to pay for it and how we could get it for that price, and he supernaturally gave it to us. You know, God wants to give you all of it.
Yes.
Many times we hold back because we think, well, you know, I've asked for God too much. All the big ministries have got so much, there's not a whole lot left for us. That's not the way God thinks. It was, to me, it was a miracle that we got that house. Then my kids, I didn't want my kids to go to private school. I mean public school. I want them to go to private school, but how many of you know that's expensive?
Yes.
It's very expensive. Well, they came up and they told us, they said, we can't keep your kids after school without charging you for that. So now the price has gone up even more. I'm driving down the freeway, we'd been praying about it. The Holy Ghost said, go over there to that school right now and tell them you're going to take your kids out. That didn't make sense to me. I didn't want my kids out. But when I went there and I said that, I want to take my kids out, they said, why? I said, well, the cost of the school is expensive. But then the daycare after it is even more expensive. And that woman said, you know what? You're the second person that's brought that need to me today. As of today, I'm canceling those charges. I'll just have my teachers stay over a little while without charging. See, God, there's another. God's making a way when there appears to be no way to give you the best. Then she leaves Lakewood Church and she goes to work for the school. That even brings the cost down even more. How many of you know in this day and age, the public school system's in trouble? So I think by the time my son had gotten to like 10th grade, we'd already spent $52,000. That was a lot of money. And we wasn't finished yet. Then I wanted to go to Bible school. Lord, I want to know something. If I'm going to minister this gospel, I need to know something. I go into work and they tell me, your job's been done away with. What? Said, you're not leaving the company, but we're cutting one job in this shop. You got to go on shift. So they put me on shift work. And I'm scratching all along the way. I don't want to go. Well, it was about 2.5 years. I'm on this shift work, and they don't give me any work. They don't give me any work. Minimal. I might work 10 minutes a day. So I'm reading my Bible, listening to tapes, reading books, praying 4, 5, 6 hours a day. Did this for like 2.5 years. They walk in one day and said, well, we reinstated your job. You can go back to that shop. So I'm back over at that shop and I asked the Lord, I said, what's that? He said, I just sent you to Bible school. Amen. And they paid for it. Because I'm telling you, I was shocked. How can you sit here with this company and they don't give you any work? Okay, I'm reading. I wore that Bible out. But what I'm trying to say is that God has already got your life planned and got a way for it to come to pass. Then later on, Tina goes to work for an oil company. It was actually the second oil company she worked for, and she wasn't there very long. She got laid off. So we had kind of seen where the oil industry could be up and down, up and down. So then she gets a job offer at a pharmaceutical company that does eye care. And I remember the Holy Ghost told us when she accepted that job, he said, she will never be laid off again. See, it wasn't up and down. The pharmaceutical and medical field is pretty consistent. She gets hired on with this company called Alcon. She goes to work for the plant manager. She's working for the head guy. Then a position comes up for her to get into a field that she wants in the company, but it requires a degree. She don't have a degree. Remember, she worked for the plant manager. Plant manager said, we're going to waive that so she can get that job. Once again, God making a way. Then it wasn't a little while, she was diagnosed with lupus. She got healed at a church called Evangelistic Temple. Boom. God fixed that. Then in 1992, I was the senior man in my department and they had a crane job. I never run cranes and didn't know that much about them, but I liked it. So I get this job, and then they do away with it. I'm thinking, that didn't work out so hot. So I said, well, you know, I'm hearing all the time, all things are possible to him who believeth. What's impossible with men is possible with God.
That's right.
So I went to God. I said, God, I want you to reinstate that job. They didn't reinstate it. They said, well, we want you to come and build a department and make it 10 people qualified to do this work. They gave me an open checkbook. You go do whatever. Write the training manual. They reinstated it. I got the whole thing back and more. Make a long story short, today I'm actually over all the crane work for 6 Dow Chemical Company plants. And I started off as just in the cab of one single crane, and now I'm over all of it. Once again, that's God doing exceedingly abundantly all above all that you could ask, think, or imagine by the power working in you. That's Him in you doing it. Then in 1998, her mom had a severe car wreck. And I'll let her explain it. You want to come up and share about it? She was life flighted. She had a car wreck out in the Tomball area. So I'll let her share a little bit about that.
The thing that I want to share with you about all of the things that He had told you that the Lord has done is there is a consistent thread. Actually, a couple. One of them was many of them started with adversity. Adversity was presented. And when adversity was presented, we had opportunity. Adversity always brings opportunity. We think adversity brings trouble. Adversity brings opportunity. You have opportunity to go with adversity, or opportunity to go with God's victory. Every time, every time. Ooh, you get to pick which highway you want to go on. The step you take when adversity comes determines the course you start. Now, remember, even if you pick the wrong street, just like the GPS system on your phone, God will redirect.
Yes.
He will say, redirect. You know that.
Recalculating.
But the plan of God is to start us from the beginning on the right step. So adversity came, brought opportunity. Opportunity always requires work. Jesus worked. In the day of temptation, when He was there, he wasn't sitting in the garden and go, gee, I'll just be glad, hallelujah. It required diligence to the things the Father had put within Him. So my mom, we're sitting there having a steak dinner at home. We get a phone call, your mother's been life-flighted. Adversity. Now came opportunity. Opportunity opened doors. Which door did we choose? The first thing I knew is when your mother's been life-flighted, your emotions are going haywire. We didn't see this coming in prayer. Many times we see by the Holy Ghost things coming our way. We didn't see this. I'm telling you, we didn't see it. The first thing I did was call people not involved who believed.
Amen.
The first thing before we left the house, I called people that I was in fellowship with that were close and said, my mom's been life-flighted. Like I said, got it. Hung up the phone. I didn't have to explain to them what. That told them enough. They began preparing a way in prayer. We got to the hospital. Long story short, they gave my mom no chance of survival. No chance of survival. Adversity, opportunity. Now we had opportunity to go with what they said or to stand. What were we going to do?
On the word.
On the word. We chose to stand on the word. My mom was in a coma. Her back was broke. Her neck was broke.
She was in a coma 77
she,
days.
She went through 48 units of blood. She was paralyzed on the right side. She had an open book pelvic fracture. Her ribs were broke.
Arm was broke 5 times.
Her arm was broke.
Severe brain injury.
I'm trying to remember.
Lungs collapsed. Kidneys failed.
So you get the picture.
It was horrible.
Now we're presented with another opportunity. They've told us that maybe just let her go. I'll never forget, Tom and I were driving down McGregor on the way to the hospital, and we said, are we doing the right thing? Are we doing the right thing? Just standing? Because believe me, we had our scriptures out. We had them out, and we were using them every day. And one of the things the Lord gave us was, do you remember how they put the blood of the lamb over the doorpost and the spirit of death was not allowed to stop where the blood was marked? That's what the Lord told us. Every day we got at her bed and said, spirit of death, you will not stop here. We put the blood of Jesus over bed seven. You can't stop here. And every day we would pray that. And I remember a nurse came in one Monday and she goes, she didn't mean any harm. She goes, she is still here. I have patients better than her that didn't make it. Wow. The only reason I think we were allowed to hear that is God wanted us to see. You stand. Stand. So Tom and I purposed in our heart, we were going to stand, and it would be between Mom and Jesus if she left. But we were going to stand. So they would call us in and tell us she wasn't going to make it, she wasn't going to make it. Because they got to a place where they were not going to sustain her life medically. It was going to be us, Jesus, and her if she made it. So they would call us in every time they thought that she wasn't going to make it. I remember one time
I want to add, never one time, not one single time did they ever come in and give us a positive report. Never.
They couldn't.
And I'm thinking, you know, you would think if you're applying the word, you'd get some kind of encouragement. And the Lord said, the greatest level of faith is never seeing anything change and you still believe it.
There you go. That's
right. And it was a long time. I remember they called us in one time I was tired. I was weary. You ever grown weary in well-doing? I'd grown very weary. We were tired. It was long days. And I walked out in the hall, and Tom was standing there, and I said, they're saying this, they're saying this, they're saying this, they're saying this, and I'll never forget. He looked at me like this. He grabbed me. He hugged me. He said, I love you, but I'm not coming out of faith. And he turned around and walked off from me and left me in the hall. I looked at him, and then I realized I was not in faith. I was weary. I was tired. And he had an opportunity to go with me where I was, or to go over here and stand. And that's what he did. The thing that I want you to know is we were given the word. We were given so many scriptures over my mother. And one of them was that she would walk again in the land of the living.
Amen.
She would walk again in the land of the living. The Lord would, their heart, and we would say, he has created in her a perfect heart. Heart be in line with what God's
Amen.
Word says. He would just give us scriptures, and we would stand on those scriptures. And one day I remember I called Lakewood and I said, the doctors are saying blah, blah, blah. And Lois Godwin, I don't know if y'all know her. If you don't, you need to. She was Brother Osteen's assistant for years and years and years. But I called and Lois answered the phone and I said, they're saying this, they're saying this. She goes, Tina, the Lord's already spoken. She is going to recover. I love you. Bye.
Thank God for people that don't waver.
That's right.
Amen. And that's what she said. And then one more time. And this, now, I need you to understand, this was a year and a half. It was a year and a half. Long story short, my mom lived 17 years longer than doctors gave her any chance of living.
Wow.
They said that when she came out from the brain injury, she may not know who we were because her brain was injured so bad. She may not, she may not, she may not. My mom remembered every rotten thing we ever did. She hadn't forgotten a thing. She came out and she knew it was miraculous. The thing that I want to tell you was it wasn't short. It was long. But when adversity comes, you need to realize it's opportunity.
Amen.
It was opportunity to give up on the crane job. He chose not to. It was opportunity to give up on our daughter. We chose not to. It was not just adversity. God sees it as opportunity. God never gives opportunity without promotion. He is always moving up. He is always moving up. So my mom recovered. My mom did very well. We had her 17 years longer. She did walk with the limp, but it didn't slow her down much. So I think the thing that I want to share that Tom has been telling you is during these things in our life, every testimony that he gave you involved a time of standing, believing, trusting. Not many of these things were fast. The last thing I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost just reminded me, this is real important. Remember how I told you one of the scriptures he gave us is, my mom would walk again in the land of the living? I assume that meant she'd live. The doctor had come in and pulled me out in the hall and said, your mom won't walk again. She'd come so far. He said, she's not going to walk again. Yeah, she's not. I was driving down 288. I was crying, and I was talking very loud and very strong to the Lord about it. And I said, how could we come this far? Blah, blah, blah. And the Lord said to me, the Holy Ghost said, what are you standing on? And I began out loud, driving down 288, quoting the scriptures that God had given us. And there were a lot. And we used them every day. How many times? Every day. What did we do? Every day. Every day. Every day. And I started quoting those scriptures. And I said, and she'll walk again in the land of the living. And the Holy Ghost said to me, what? She'll walk again in the land of the living. I went into that room the next day. I said, Mama, you're going to walk again. You're going to walk again. You're going to walk again in the land of the living. And Mom said, okay. And my mom did walk again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because again, what Tom tells you is there is so much more power in the word that God has planted in your heart than just what you see. Amen. There is so much bigger picture in what God has. So stand. You've got to stand. You've got to persevere. You've got to press through. Remember that God is still standing for us now. Jesus is still on our behalf now. He has not given in. He has not given up. And his power is at work in us. Amen?
Amen. Oh, I forgot that one.
Gotcha.
I will tell you a little funny part about that. I'd go in there, she was in a coma and had all them wires on her head. I said, Martha, I'm not taking you anywhere looking like that. And everybody said, well, why do you do that? They said, if you act like she's in a coma and you treat her different, even though she can't respond, she hears you talking negative. We wouldn't let nobody go in there and talk negative. And then they were drilling her head. It's actually swollen up like a basketball because it was brain injury. And they're drilling her head. And I said, I got a question, Doc. I said, I'm the son-in-law. I said, just for future arguments, how thick is that skull? And that doctor said, get him out of here. But see, I always joke with my mother-in-law. So I treated her as though, we're going to get through this. This is just another thing to get through.
Amen.
But make a long story short, she got a huge settlement from General Motors because the seatbelt pulled out of the wall, and they had already had that problem, so she got a huge settlement. And then they gave us money because we wanted to buy a house, so it came back in a financial blessing to us even after all this. And like she said, she lived several more years.
Amen.
When they said she wouldn't live an hour.
Amen.
Praise God.
Let me kind of tie all this up together. Some of the ministries that we were around, this is the stuff they tell us. Lester Sumrall would say, feed your faith and starve your doubts to death.
Amen.
Isn't that powerful?
Amen.
Feed your faith and starve your doubts to death.
Amen.
John Osteen, remember, he'd say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I am. You know the. And then he'd say, don't tell God how big your problem is. Tell your problem how big your God is. R.W. Shambach, he'd say, you don't have a problem. All you need is faith in God.
That's right.
Or he'd say, you can't lose with the stuff I use. You can't lose with Jesus. And of course, we all know Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, Mark 11, 23 and 24. Gloria Copeland said this, inconsistency lies the power. Inconsistently lies the power. The more consistent you are in handling the Word of God, reading it, confessing it, praying it,
That's where the power comes from. And then he'd say, Brother Copeland would say, faith-filled words dominates the laws of sin and death. If you've been dealt a situation that's sin and death and negative, faith-filled words will dominate that. It will change that situation.
Amen.
And then, of course, the testimony about T.L. Osborne, the love of God. Everything God has done, is doing, and is going to do for you is because He loves you.
Amen.
And I'll conclude with this. What are you anchored to? The storms of life are going to come. They're going to come to every one of us. What are you anchored to? What's holding you from drifting off? You know, if you're paddling upstream and you quit paddling, the minute you quit paddling, you go back downstream.
Mm-hmm.
What are you anchored to? Here's a good one. James 4:7, draw near the Lord, resist the devil, and he will flee. Now, I've heard people say, well, you resist the devil, and he'll flee. Well, no, you got to draw near to God first.
Right.
You got to get over there and get some of God's power on you, and then resist the devil. Psalms 119:11, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Unbelief is sin. So if you want to get out of the unbelief, you got to get some faith. You got to hide God's word in you so that when the doctor tells you, you got 2 months to live, you say, oh no, by his stripes we were healed.
Amen.
The more time you spend with God, the more you'll recognize his voice.
Right.
I've been with this woman over 40 years, and if there's a whole crowd of people talking, I can still pick her voice out. You know why? Because I spent a lot of time with her. The more time you spend with God, when he talks to you, you'll know it's him talking. That's being led by the Spirit. And over the years, we've had situations. How much time I got? Am I out of time? Okay.
Endless. It's infinite. Infinity.
Here, when my son was small, he was playing with gasoline. He'd gotten a gas can out, was pouring it in. The Holy Ghost told her, said, go out right now. Go out right now and check on your son. He's out there pouring gasoline in a glass jar and is fixing to light it. That's the Holy Ghost. He knows what your kids are up to.
That's right.
Then I told you about the child care. The Holy Ghost said, go now and tell them you're pulling your kids out. They fixed that right there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on my way home from work one time. I got 2 letters to mail. I don't have any stamps. But the Holy Ghost is telling me, I want you to go to this mall. It was Alameda Mall right there on 45 and mail stamps there. Mail the letters there. I'm thinking, yeah, but I don't have any stamps. But I'm still being told, go to that mailbox in that parking lot. Okay. It don't make any sense to me. The minute I get there, I look at the mailbox and I said, Lord, now why am I here? And boom, this motorcycle coming across the parking lot, T-bones his car, 2 bodies flipping up in the air, splat right there on the ground in front of me. And I said, now I know why I'm here. So I get out and I'm praying in tongues over these 2 boys for a good 30, 40 minutes before the ambulance gets there. One of them's flopping on the ground like a fish. And the Lord told me, said, okay, speak peace to him. When I did, he calmed, got peaceful. And then I realized, okay, my time is up. So I stepped back. And I could hear in the background people said, what's this guy doing? They said, I don't know. He's been talking in some strange language over for a long time. So I got up and I stepped away. Here come the ambulance. Away they went. I was there because God wanted me there. I checked on them boys. Went to the fire station right there in front of the neighborhood. I said, you know who made that call? They said, yeah, it was these 2 guys right here. I'll go get one of them. They came out and they said, yeah, we kept them for observation. We couldn't find nothing wrong with them. And I remember opening my eyes while I'm praying and the chrome on the side of the car was sticking through one kid's leg. And they kept them for observation, said we couldn't find nothing wrong with them. Now, is that God or what? I couldn't have planned that. I'm over there wanting to mail 2 letters with no stamps. But God said, no, that's not why you're here. You're here for them two boys. Yeah. And then another time, I'm wanting to, she had ordered some food for Thanksgiving, and I was going to go pick it up. And the Holy Ghost said, don't get on the freeway. I'm thinking, well, it's faster on the freeway. No, don't get on the freeway. And I go about a block, and the front tire on my car comes completely, I mean, just drops down and breaks. Wow. If I'd have been on the freeway, that would have been horrible. Yeah. But what I'm trying to tell you is that everywhere you go, everything you're involved in, everything you're doing, He's with you.
Yes.
He's in you, and He wants you to do a better job at it than even what you know how to do. I tried to fiberglass a hole on the bottom of a boat one time, and I had so much fiberglass on me, I looked like the wolf man. And then I remember a message I heard, factor in the anointing. I said, Lord, I need your anointing to patch this hole. That next hole I patched, I said, man, I don't have any fiberglass on me. It's all on the boat. It looks professional. I'm going, that wasn't me. That was Him. Mm-hmm. He can bless what you do and make it so much better than what you know how to do. But I said all of this because John 15, 5 through 7 said, I'm the vine and you're the branch. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We do things every day that we don't include God in. Mm. And you know what He's calling that? He's calling that nothing. Because at the end of our life, when we all go to heaven, all that stuff that we did that we thought really mattered really doesn't. It's what we do for Him that matters.
Yes.
And He cares about the little things. The fiberglass in a boat. Your kid playing with gasoline. Or your kid's daycare. The car you buy. The house you buy.
Yeah.
He cares about it all. That's what I want. If I could say anything today, I want you to understand that God cares for you even more than you care for yourself. Mm-hmm. He's here today. See, when you got here, He got here. Because what did He say? I never leave them or forsake them. When you walked in the door, Jesus walked in the door with you. Because He's in you. He's in you. Everything you need in life is in you.
Yes.
Just need to get it to come out. How to use it. How to use that toolbox of life that He's equipped you with. Has this helped anybody?
Amen.
I wanted to let you know that your whole life is mapped out. Everything you need, everything you want. You know, I've heard people say, yeah, well, God will meet your needs, but He won't meet your wants. Well, I got a scripture for said, He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
That's right.
So He's going to give me my needs and my wants.
Amen.
So that didn't work too good. They tried to convince me that. But what I'm trying to tell you is that God wants to do things with your life that's way bigger than what you
Amen. Right.
He wants to make your life count. I told the Lord, I said, at the end of my life, I want my life to count for something. And a lot of times we think, well, yeah, but I didn't lead a big corporation and I didn't lead a big old church or whatever. But if you're obeying God, it don't get any better than that.
That's right.
If you're doing what God wants you to do, it don't get any better than
That's
that.
Right.
At the end of your life, think about it. The guy that led John Osteen is going to get the same reward. The guy that led John Osteen to get saved is going to get the same reward as John Osteen.
That's right,
man. That don't get no better than that, right?
That's right.
Look inside. Look inside, because everything you need is on the inside. Amen?
Amen.
I want to pray. Father, I thank You for this word. I thank You that it falls on good ground. These precious people take it to heart. They hide this in their heart.
And I believe that it inspires them to hold on and never let go of your promises. Thank you, Lord. You never give up on us. May we never give up on you and your word. I break every disappointment. I break every setback, every failure off of the people. You may have done it 10 times and it didn't work. But God says, go back and do it again. Go back and believe it again. Because that's the way God is. God doesn't ever give up. In Jesus' name. Jesus. How many of you would say, I've had some disappointments. I've had some setbacks. I've fallen off the horse, and it seemed like the horse was attacking me. Or you've had dreams that seemed like they just didn't come to pass. If that's you, I'd like for you to come up. Thank you. Such thing as failures with you, Lord Jesus. You take what we've been through, you take what we've experienced, you take what the enemy meant for our evil and you turn it to good. Lord, I thank you for giving my sister the desires of her heart and causing it to come to pass.
The law of progression is working. It's working.
You foul devil that's lied to her and says she can't have it. It won't happen for her. I bind you in Jesus' name. Get off of God's property. Leave her in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for giving her. Giving her her heart's desire. Thank you for it, Jesus. Father, what you've done for me, you'll do for others. You're no respecter of person. I thank you for fanning into flame the love of God in their heart for one another. Rekindling the love they have for one another. I come against every assignment of the enemy. I cancel it. I stop it. I thank you for peace and unity in this household and in this marriage. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that from this day forward, there's going to be a difference. It's going to be better. I thank you for putting a hook in his jaw and drawing him to your kingdom and to your way of life. You spirit of this world, you let him go. In Jesus' name, he's sanctified by your believing. Thank you for my sister's desire to minister. I thank you that you have an anointing on her life to do that. To speak up and to speak out. To stand up and to step out. Thank you, Lord, for opportunities to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just like the rudder on a ship moves that big ship, but the ship has to be moving. You step out on your desires. Find ways you can get involved, things that you can put your hands to do. And see that God doesn't breathe on it and develop it into a full-time work for him. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. I charge the angels of God from the north, south, east, and west to cause her to come into connection with what you've called her to minister in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hi.
Joanne.
Hi, Joanne.
I've got so many items that need to be repaired around my house, and I don't have the money to repair them.
Okay.
I have a rent property, and it's just all falling down because I don't have the money. I need a financial blessing.
Okay, this is what I want you to do. Make a list of it.
Yeah.
Write it down. I need roof, door, whatever it is. Make a list, get a total. Then go to God and say, God, I'm claiming this amount of money. Claim it.
Put the scriptures underneath the need. What applies to it?
He said, David. Philippians 4:19 said he'd meet your need according to the riches that's in Christ Jesus, not according to you, according to his riches. And he has endless riches. You make a list of that, and then you claim that. Pray over it, tell the devil to take his hands off of it. And then every day, thank God for that money to come. Okay, we're going to believe with you. Father, we're a blessed people. Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming the curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham would be ours. Thank you, Lord, for every need met. And money left over to do the work of the gospel.
Yes. Every need met.
Debt, lack, and want, I rebuke you. You leave this woman. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And today, that situation's been corrected. What's your name?
Chris.
What can I pray with you about?
All. I want all.
You want it all? You willing to give it up all?
Yes.
You willing to surrender? Well, you can certainly have it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, comes to my remembrance how you anointed Jesus to go about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Lord, fan into flame the gifts of God that's within this young man and cause him to go after it as though he's looking for buried treasure. And once he finds a nugget of it, he'll go and tell people about it. And he finds another nugget and he'll go tell people about it. And it'll just keep growing until he gets all of it, just like he wants it. Cause him to be effective, purposeful, and not be distracted. I command all distractions that distract him.
Lord, you have a way. You have a way. There's always a way in you for us to get what we're believing for when it's in line with your word. Thank you, Father. Encourage him. Encourage him. Thank you, Father. Jesus. Are you married?
Yes, sir.
You need a good wife.
I need to make her one, that's all.
You knew what?
So I just need to make her one, that's all.
Okay. Well, you got a good job?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Start honoring God with your money, and you'll start seeing some changes there, too.
It's already happening, sir. Thank
okay.
you.
Praise God. Yes, ma'am. Always remember that when the enemy comes, he tries to get you to buy into it. You know how you got somebody knocking at the front door and they want to sell you something? If you tell them, I'm not interested, they go away. See, the devil wants you to convince you that you have cancer. You know who has your cancer? Jesus. He's already bore it for you. 1 Peter 2:24 says, with his stripes we were healed. Jesus bore stripes, whippings on his back for our healing. Matthew 8:17 said, he bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. Well, just like if I took your shoes, I got them. You don't have them. Jesus took your sickness and your those afflictions of the enemy. They belong to him. And in return, he gave you health. So from this day forward, you don't have cancer. You're going to give it to Jesus today, and you're going to say, Jesus, I trade this affliction called cancer, I trade it for my healing that you paid for. Can you do that?
Yes.
I want you to have a conversation with cancer every day. The doctor's giving you medicine, right?
Yeah.
How many times a day you take it?
Just had chemo, and I had radiation on my head.
Okay. You feed that cancer the word of God just like you would take medicine. 2-3 times a day. Say, cancer, I'm talking to you. The Bible says, with his stripes we were healed. Cancer, the Bible says, he bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases. Cancer, you can't live in my body. My body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. God lives in here. God's not going to live in here with sickness. There's no sickness in heaven. Remember Jesus prayed, he said, on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus already took your sickness. You give it to him today, and don't let any doctor, family member, even your own body try to convince you that you have it. Now you're going to feel the symptoms. Symptoms are the last thing to leave. But every day you feed that cancer the word of God, every day it gets weaker and just turns loose, finally it leaves. Can you do that?
Yes.
Excuse me. I anoint my sister in the name of Jesus. I curse this cancer at the roots. Cancer, I command you to die, cancer. Leave this body. Get out. Tumors, cancer, go from her. Leave her in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for the healing virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, driving out all infirmity, all affliction, every weakness, every disease, every sickness, and making her every way whole. You receive that? In Jesus' name. Amen. You her husband? The Bible says we're one flesh. So the devil's doing that to your flesh too. That, yeah. She belongs to you. So you help her with that.
Yep.
When she feels weak, you stand in the gap. Mm-hmm. You feed the word of God to that cancer. Yep. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Jesus.
To do it all in one step. Step out on the little pieces. Can you do a little bit of it?
I have.
Okay.
I took her advice last time she was here.
Remember, I don't know if you heard what I told that other woman. Claim the amount of money you need. You know, you don't need the money when you get to heaven. I don't need a house payment when I get to heaven. I need it now. I need it in this life. Claim the amount of money you need and be bold about it. If you need $1,000, say, well, I need $1,100 or whatever. Then the next time, if you need $1,000, you get $1,100, say, well, now I need $1,200. And honor God with that, with your finances. Claim it. You remember, if somebody read the will and your name's in that will and said, well, this is what she gets, wouldn't you claim that? That's me. That's mine. I'll take that. Do that. Right?
Remember what you said a minute ago about He'll supply all your needs.
Yes.
And some people say not your wants.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. I guess sometimes I think we all do. We all have those times.
Yeah.
We all do.
You can't. Did you know you can't dream bigger than God? Mm-hmm. You can't. Well, I think what it is you're trying to take this thing on in one big thing, and God wants you to just chew on the elephant a piece at a time till you get it all. Right? Right?
Never done that before, but I'll do it.
Well, I think sometimes it can be so big and so overwhelming, it's like, how in the world would I ever do that?
Yeah.
Just take a bite. Just take one bite at a time.
Amen.
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 Father, I thank you for encouraging her. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you for it. Encouraging her.
Strengthening.
Calls her to run with a vision, even if it's one step. One step.
It will come to pass. It will not be late a single day.
Yes. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Discouragement, get off of her. Discouragement, get off of her. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, get off of her.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Let me get a drink.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm Rebecca. Years ago, I was a little bit prone to a horse.
So that was you I was praying about.
That was you.
You got thrown off the horse.
Then I think he attacked me too.
What?
I feel like he's still attacking you sometimes.
See, I thought when God told me that was like a metaphor, but then I realized later on that there's somebody there that's been thrown from a horse.
Uh-huh. That was
you?
Me.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Not a problem.
And then... You got injuries? Or
yes, I do. I never had them medically taken care of, but there's days it's debilitating pain.
Well, then that's for you then.
That's for me.
Thank you, Lord. The healing power of the Lord Jesus undo the effects of this injury.
Yes.
Undo the effects of this fall. Undo the effects of this negative circumstance falling off this horse.
command every bone, ligament, tendon, nerve, muscle, every part of this body to be made every way whole, where there's no trace of this injury ever again. Today, you write that down, write it down, that today I left that injury at the altar and I received my healing. And you keep thanking Jesus for it every day, and you'll see it manifest, and those symptoms will go, and you'll never feel them again. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Who's next, her?
I guess. I'm Dolly.
Who has it?
But I know God's called me to pray right now.
Yes.
And you know He's been preparing me.
Yeah.
But has it really shown me?
Does that make sense? Thank you, Lord. Nothing is impossible with you. Lord, you didn't give her that vision. You didn't give her that want, that desire, without having a plan to make it happen. You foul devil that's lied to her and tell her she's not enough. She's not doing enough. Not praying enough, not confessing enough, not reading enough. Well, we're never going to be enough. That's why we have Jesus. It's Jesus that's more than enough. And it's Him doing the work through us, not us. Thank you, Father. Direct her paths, order her footsteps, go before her, make the crooked way straight, rough places smooth, fill in the valleys, make low the high places, order her steps, cause her to always be at the right place and to never be at the wrong place. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that as she opens her mouth, you'll fill it with your wisdom, your strength, your encouragement. Jesus' name. Amen. Say this. Sickness. Infirmity. Disease. Go from me. Leave me. Get out of my body. You're not welcome here. For it is written. With His stripes. We were healed. It is written. He bore our sicknesses. He carried our diseases. It is written. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Becoming the curse for us. That's what I believe. That's what I confess. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing to cause this that's bothering her, that's come against her health, to leave. Correct it, make it new, make it whole. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, you got to look rid of them, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name, be healed. Be healed in Jesus. Be healed in Jesus. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. Thank you, Lord. Pain and the cause of pain, I cancel you. Jesus. Jesus.
I need strength for my job. I'm having a hard time keeping up with the load. It's a lot right now.
Are you sure you're supposed to be carrying that load?
Yes, it's my job responsibility. So.
Okay. Just make sure you're not doing more than what you're supposed to be doing.
No, it's all on me.
sometimes the best thing to do is to tell them, I can't do that. You'll know when that time comes.
Okay.
Because we live in a different world today. If they can get you to do the work of three people, they will. I'm not saying that's your situation, but I know even my wife had to tell me, she said, as long as you keep taking what they give you, they think you're happy. And I'm the one miserable. I finally had to tell them, I can't do any more. Mm-hmm. You'll have to give that to somebody else.
Okay.
I'm not saying that's your situation, but it may come to that.
The Lord may want you to believe for someone to come alongside and help.
Okay.
Yeah. Strengthen you and help you.
I thank you, Lord, that everything she sets her hands to prospers.
Yes.
Thank you for your anointing on her. To do her job, to do the work of her hands with excellence. Don't miss anything. Don't make any mistakes.
Yes.
And Lord, give her the ministry of helps.
Yes.
If that's what she needs, if she needs help, give her the ministry of help.
Bring forth.
Thank you, Father.
Come forth. Help.
She can do all things through you who gives her strength.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
You know what the strength it is? It's the joy of the Lord. 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 Bathe her in it, Lord. Fill her to overflowing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Find you a funny movie and laugh. It helps. I can remember when I was so burdened. I went and got Three Stooges.
Yeah.
I wanted to share one last thing with you that we learned from Brother Osteen. And a lot of time when we're going through a battle, again, adversity brings opportunity. Opportunity always brings promotion with God. Always. What the Lord would have us do is a lot of times when we're caught up in the adversity and we're walking it out, we're walking out our faith. We're come walking out. Remember, Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, but he came out in the power. So while we're walking through that to come out in the power of God's promises, the Lord would have us write down our need. Write it, make it plain. We put it down. This is what's going on. Then he would have us go to the Word and write down on the same piece of paper what God's Word said about our situation. And he would put what God showed him, and I would put what God showed me, and we'd type it up. So we had our need, then we had what God's Word said about our situation. Now, I need you to understand, we didn't always believe what God's Word said about the situation when we started this. The power was in the Word. The power was in the Word. We
we were willing to be willing, but we weren't there yet. Have you been there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So we wrote down the word. We put the pressure on the word. Then we took communion. His blood and his body was given. He paid a dear price. We took communion and said, in line of your word and the price that Jesus paid, we believe what the word says over what we think, we feel, or we see. We would do that. We dated it. And then there were a lot of times we would put it out on the bar, and every day we would walk by and say, the word of God is working on our behalf as we speak. His word is working. And we would read his word. And guess what happened? We would start to believe it. We didn't always believe it when we started, but we knew his word was more powerful. And we would do that, and we would do that. And now it's become something we do every year. Before we go into the next year, we pray and see what we believe God wants us to stand for. Now, after we do that, we start doing whatever we need to do within the kingdom. We don't wait for those things to happen. And most of your ministry is not going to be in here.
That's right.
This is where he's training you. You're getting trained. You're working out. Here's your training. This is the gym. But when you go out there, most of the supernatural things we've seen were not in church. Did the supernatural things happen in church? Absolutely. The corporate anointing right now, the power of coming together, believing. That's why he said it's very important this last day that we not forsake the gathering together. But most of the things that happen seem very insignificant at the time. So just be listening for that voice during the week. When there's somebody that comes to your mind, pray. Just pray. The power of it is there. If you're at the grocery store, just be listening for the Holy Ghost in those little the mall parking lots. At work, as you're walking. And you would be surprised the things that God will do with the word, with the prayer, and what seems like a little bitty action. So I just want to share that with you before we left. It was a pleasure to be with you. So nice to be here. Appreciate you, and thanks for allowing us to come.
Another thing I just share real quick. When you write down this stuff, you'll start checking it out as God does it. I found a book one time where I was keeping a log of stuff that I was believing for, and I pulled that book out, and I said, wow, I got that. I got that. Wow. It encouraged me.
Praise God. Praise God. Let's stand together. Thank you so much, Tom and Tina, both. What an awesome team, huh? You're Batman and Robin.
Hallelujah.
Tell you, God's done some things here. The power has been released. So go home and know that change is affecting. I had a gentleman I was listening to on a tape this week, and he said, you know, I prayed. He had some situations. He prayed for some people at the altar, and nothing changed immediately. But when they left, change started happening. So some of you say, well, I didn't get what I don't feel like I got what I came to get. Listen, the power of God's been released, so it may, in some of your cases, it may be a gradual change, but expect the change, amen? The power has been released this morning in this place. Change is coming.